more monetary conditional responsibility in our government. Government has a little bit of a problem. They have so many rules here as an artist. Now, you should be a lady owner, he was the answer to them. If I come to PE, he was in a draw, he was in a swar. He was in a swar that you can serve a rule in the orsa nami haray. Hello, rule in my yasa, lo havia, hello, exactly. Now, you should be a lady, serve a kevin, the lo havia, hello, exactly, but rule in my yasa.
Since the reference to Gemara a little bit later on in the first parak, in Daf Tesim and Aleph, and we'll go over that Gemara, but it has to do with the sequencing of events in Geulas Mitzrayim. Actually, what happened? Hotziach Hashem Elokim Mitzrayim Laila on the one hand, and we Macharas HaPesach Yatzu Bnei Yisrael B'Yad Ramah, Zacharas Hayom Hazeh. So there's some question as to what exactly took place. Chipazon D'Yisrael, Chipazon D'Mitzrayim. So we'll have a look back inside at that Gemara. But there are a couple very important ideas that have already emerged in just a few lines of Gemara that Ezra read so well. So first of all, we have the introduction of a concept for the first time in Shas. Not saying that much, it's only three pages in, but nonetheless. Called Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Number two, right? We have an idea that the Gula that appears to be referenced here is specifically Gula's Mitzrayim, right? You can pick that up from the Machlokas back and forth between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But probably more than what we've picked up is we have a lot of questions. So methodologically speaking, if I told you, as the Gemara says, that there is some kind of a din of smichas gula l'tfila, and the Gemara comes to it through Arvis, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but let's assume right now that there is such a thing called smichas gula l'tfila, and let's oversimplify for the moment and say that Arvis and Shacharis will assume the same thing, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, not according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then in considering that din, how might we approach it? How might we structure our thoughts about it? Smichas Geula L'Tfila. Is that a din in X? Is that a din in Y? Is that a din in Z? Who can just sort of map out the lumdus before we start getting deeper and deeper? Yeah, Mikey, go ahead. Good. So that would be one perspective. Very good. It's in Geula, and Geula, Geulas Mitzrayim, is an intrinsic part of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. I think we established that. We don't have to recapitulate the entire first semester, but I think we can accept that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is really fundamental to Kriyat Shema, and the Rambam uniquely so, but I think that that's something that we understand, right? He's not just the individual who sibaso harishona, so to speak, but the poel hamitzius, and as the Ramban give voice, what could be greater evidence to that than yitzias mitzrayim? Okay, so it could be a din in tefila, it could be a din in kriyat shema. What's the other option?
It's just like individual
din. Excellent, Mikey did it all for us. Very good. Or there's something called smichas gula l'tefila, which is intrinsically valuable. Now, that's a proposition that could only be verified. It's an interesting hypothesis. But what kind of data would be needed to say, yeah, you're right, there is such a halacha called smichas gula l'tfila that somehow transcends either kriyat shema or the amida? We could somehow, unison, what would be like proof positive? If we could find something, then we would say, there is a third way. Mikey?
Perhaps if there's a way to do it that doesn't require kriyat shema tefillah.
Excellent, very good. So if we found that somebody said, this isn't related to kriyat shema, it isn't related to tefillah, but this is part of the overarching need for smichas gula l'tefillah, now that would be proof positive. So we're not going to get to proof positive today, but that's exactly the way that we would want to think about it. Okay, so Avi, we have here a machlokes amoraim, right? So just recapitulate for us. What's Rabbi Yochanan saying and what's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying? Okay, good. That's a really good way of actually summarizing the Gemara. The question then is, what is there a machlokas about Shacharis?
No.
Right. So practically speaking, it doesn't seem like there's a machlokas about chakras, but, you know, like, just explore that for a second with me. It doesn't seem like there is, right? Rabbi Shua ben Levi isn't, you know, making a fuss about this sequence of davening, if I could use that term broadly, in chakras, right? You would still say Kriyat Shema, and then you would have tefillah. But if you take Rabbi Shua ben Levi at face value, you could raise the following question, Avi. What might you say? Yeah, it's true, he's not holding a protest about Kriyat Shema coming before chakras, but... Exactly. He's just saying, what does he say, in fact? Right, that's the Gemara's explanation, but what are his words, yeah?
It just doesn't have to be
their Gemara.
It just kills
their Gemara. Right, so that you know, he has this idea that Kriyat Shema sort of form the absolute bookends. You know, we'll get into the continuation of the Gemara, and Tfilos should be packaged in between that. So it might be what we call like a false positive, right? By Shacharis, there is Smichas Gula Tvila, but does he really say that that's driven by an affirmative halacha called Smichas Gula Tvila? Or is that driven by something called Tvilos Be'emtza Tiknum? Right? That's something else, that he wants all of the Tvilos in the day to be bookended by Kriyat Shema. Okay, so that's a possibility. We have to see. Maybe that's exactly why the Gemara has multiple deos as to what the Shita of Rabbi Shua ben Levi is. So let's just quickly do some Chazara on the Lambda side, and then we'll go further in the Gemara. Rashi, Tosos, take all the Hayaros as well. So we have a concept that's introduced called Smichas Gula Tefila. Ironically, it comes up by Mariv, because that's where the Machlokas is, even though the Gemara avers that when it comes to Geula, right, Chachris is a more natural time. But be that as it may, we had three possibilities. Mikey articulated beautifully that this somehow enhances Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, that this somehow enhances Tvila, or this is actually an independent halacha called Smicha's Gula Tvila, and that's a harder hill to climb. We need to somehow prove that by seeing it somewhere else. And then we wanted to know, what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan? Are they really only arguing about Ma'ariv? Or are they really arguing about the idea of Smichas Gula Tefila more broadly? But in the morning, it just happens to be that their shitos overlap for idiosyncratic reasons. Rabbi Yochanan holds from Smichas Gula Tefila, he holds from it across the board, by Shachris, by Mariv. Rabbi Shua ben Levi doesn't, but he holds of a different idea called Tefilos Be'emtza Tiknum that just happens to work out, you know, according to those purposes. Okay, so... very good. Ezra, go ahead. So we'll be done a little bit further, and then we'll take a look at maybe what Rashi has to say, the Tosfos has to say. We'll be on our way. Right. So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, that the using the pasuk of Bishachbacha uvkumecha. So again, if you're using Ezra Mikey's framework, what might you say? And we're still very, very early on, obviously, but what might you suggest in terms of the lambdas? If he's deriving it from a pasuk of Bishachbacha uvkumecha, what's that? Right, somehow this is built into Kriyat Shema. Okay, very good. That's what I would have said. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Makish Shchiva Dekima, right? Makima Kriyat Shema v'achar kach tvila, av shchiva nami Kriyat Shema v'achar kach tvila. So I would have read that as a din primarily in Kriyat Shema. Okay. Okay. Very good. So this is now a little bit more nuanced, saying, could be that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, at least by Shacharis, really does believe in some level in this idea of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. We haven't ruled that out. After all, he's operating within the same pasuk structure as Rabbi Yochanan. But on the other hand, we're not really sure, because it seems like what's really important to him is not so much Kriyat Shema V'Achar Kach Tfila, that's Rabbi Yochanan, but Kriyat Shema Samach L'Mitasa, right? That's how you get to... And by the way, what's interesting about that, just parenthetically, this shifts Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position away from tefillah and more towards Kriyat Shema. In other words, you're describing the same halacha, Kriyat Shema at the beginning and the end of the day, and Tfilos in the middle. But if you say Tfila Be'emtza Tiknum, the headline is Tfila. If you say Kriyat Shema Samach Lamitaso, the headline is Kriyat Shema. So that's why we have to read Gemara's really, really carefully to figure out what exactly is going on. So that's according to this day, but that's not the only day, obviously. Go ahead, Ezra. Well, let's keep on going a little bit. There's an Ezra Baron, so you know, just you know, on its face. So the Gemara is making this really interesting assertion that no, we could still defend the proposition of Rabbi Yochanan. Sounds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When we defend the proposition of Rabbi Yochanan, even assuming that there is an additional bracha in Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, the bracha was lachara, called Hashkivenu, which is after Gaal Yisrael, right? It concludes with Shomer Mo Yisrael La'ad. It seems to be a clear hafsek. It seems to mitigate the possibility of Smicha Skula Tzvila. And the Gemara says, no, it's a Geula Arechta. And it says, you know, and we can bring you a raya because, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if you'll tell me that this somehow, you know, is an insurmountable obstacle with respect to Smichas Gula Tvila when it comes to Arvis, then I'll tell you that Shachris is also impeded because we have there Hashem Swasai Tiftach. So if you could have a Geula Arechta, you could have a Tvila Arechta. If you have a Tvila Arechta, you could have a Geula Arechta. Well, Ezra, what would you say? I mean, is Gemara like, is that a fair comparison? What's unfair about it? What strikes you as unfair?
First of all, the two different categories. One is part of Kriyat Shema still, like Hashkivenu is still from Kriyat Shema, and one is already on the Tfilah.
Okay, very good, right. So just because you can, you'd have a Tfilah Arechta doesn't mean that you could extend the Geula and vice versa. I get that for sure. Yeah, so I was thinking in more simplistic terms than you were. So one is an entire bracha, right? So to say Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Yagi Tilasecha, which is clearly an intrinsic part of tefillah, so I could accept the Gemara saying tefillah rechta dami, that we're asking God to give us the capacity. This is something we'll talk about a lot this semester. Prayer is a very, very foreboding kind of an exercise. What does it mean for somebody who's finite, right, whose entire comprehension of the world is very limited, to approach in tefillah the Melech Malchei Malchim? It's one thing, but I'm trying to understand God's will. Talmud Torah, I understand. Tefillah? Really? So we're going to have to talk about that. So I can understand why you'd want to say, Hashem, Svasai Tiftach, Ufi Agi Tulatecha. You'd pray to be able to pray, right? That sounds eminently reasonable to have tefillah arechta. To say that there's an entire bracha after we said Gal Yisrael that we're going to consider a geula arechta, and to say that they're exactly the same thing, you know, I'm not sure that's really exactly the same. That seems not entirely fair to assume, okay? But that's what the Gemara wants to say for now. The Rishonim are going to be all over this and to say, you know, is this something that we can really accept at face value, okay? And if not, then what does that really mean about the possibility even of Smicha Skula Tfila when it comes to Arvis? So Ezra, I think that was really very, very well said. Okay, so that's what we have here. That's what we have in the Gemara. This is really the first piece of the Gemara. There's a vital contribution in Rashi here, absolutely vital. There's a vital contribution in the Bali Hatosos, where they take a stand. It happens to be a Machlokas Rishonim on the issues. So let's at least start right now with Rashi, and then we'll go to Tosos, and we'll try to get in as many of the heroes as possible. Okay, so Rami, why don't you take us through Rashi? So Amar Mar.
Amar Mar for Kriyas Shema Shal Arvis Tefila Va'Achar Kaf Mispala. Sayela Le Rabbi Yochanan De Amar Arvis Nami Kriyas Shema Va'Achar Kaf Tefila Kedei Shiyis Mokulu Tefila. Dulo Rabbi Yoshuv Levi De Amar Tefila Va'Achar Kaf Tefila.
So there's one word in that Rashi which is really fascinating and seems to suggest that Rashi believed something about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Levi?
Nami?
Very good. You hit the nail on the head. Okay. What's he saying? I know what you mean, but just explain it. He's pointing out that the Nekudas HaMachlokas is really only about Arvis, but at Shachris, we assume that they really agree about what's driving this. Okay, to look at Rabbi Shimon Levi, Damar Tefila Ve'achar Kach Kriyat Shema, as if they really agree about Shachris, and not what I was trying to suggest in the Gemara. It could be that technically speaking they agree, but for completely different reasons. Okay. Yeah.
How can that be? Because at one point, maybe the lady, it's like if you had, it's like you spoke about the bottom slice of a sandwich that only had one piece of bread. How could you say that such a thing as tefillah, but emzatiknu, drives chakras in isolation? It doesn't make any sense because there's no emsamer.
Well, that's a really interesting question. Right, is what Levi is saying that look, when you already say tefilos be'emtza tiknim, using that expression means it has to be between, as he's using, certain pieces of a sandwich. I'm not sure that I'm denying that. Right, he has different pieces. There's the kriyat shema and then there's the tefila. I'm just wondering whether he really buys into this idea of smicha school of tefila. Because if all you're saying is, well, first you say Kriyat Shema and then you say Tefillah, so that doesn't mean there's necessarily a relationship between the two pieces. It just happens to be that you've got to do, let's say, Kriyat Shema Samach L'mitaso. Okay, so just hold on for one second. I just want to establish the Rashi here. So give us a lot to think about, and then we'll come back. I know Akiva has a comment, Ephraim has a comment as well. So Rami, go ahead. Okay, so let's hold that up here. Wait, that's really interesting. So, David has a remez in Sefer Tehillim. It says, Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. This is the apparent idea. And then, Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara. So, why am I interested by this? Yeah,
well, first of all, it's backwards, but more importantly, Yancha Hashem Biyom Tzara isn't about past Geula. It's about hope for future Geula, which is sort of like...
Well, he's using a tefillah.
Right.
That's the tefillah part. So he's saying...
Okay.
Yes, it's not bad. Oh. But why am I really interested in this, Ben Sion? Get ahead.
Wait, but Hashem Tzuri V'Goali is also...
Very good. Excellent. Very well done, Noam. So here we're seeing it, right? This is in the context of Kriyat Shema. This is in the context of formal tefillah. But there might be some idea, right? It's not Yamida. It's not Shmona Esrei. It's not Shacharis. It's not Mincha. It's not Mariv. Right? And yet, somehow, right... I'm not saying it's proof positive. Like I said, we're not getting to proof positive today, but it seems like there's some idea, there's some element of smichas geula l'tefila, even when we're not dealing with geulas Mitzrayim and kriyat shema and formal tefila, whether it's the raisa or the rabba, and we'll get to that, right? But right, Ramza David b'sefer Tehillim, that it follows some logical construct. Okay, that's really important. I think this is actually Rashi Lishitasa with what he's about to say, which is perhaps even more profound. But this would already be grist for our lambda smil. So go ahead.
Lamahu
dome.
mahu do amilo ohavo shel melech shiva bedavagal pisco shel melech yatsa hamelech matzo shehivli.
Okay, so Rami, what's the scene here?
Basically, there's a king that comes to knock on your door.
So there's some confidant of the king, the ohavo shel melech, right? Not a stranger. And, you know, because of his, let's call it intimacy with the king, you know, he thinks he could just, you know, sort of barge on in. Right? And he starts banging on the door, you know, early in the morning, okay?
And then the king comes out.
Right. Yatza HaMelech, you know, he wants to see what all this ruckus is about. Umitzah Shehiflig, right? He sees this, what does Hiflig mean? What's that? What's that? What? Just say it a little sharper. Maybe just see if you see the next line, you'll say it a little crisper. You're on the right track. Just yeah. Go ahead. Right. So in the analogy, so Ephraim, you're on the right track. Just what? Why did he run away? What was the? Why? What did he realize? What's that? Right, he realized that he had acted in a way that was improper, that he had sort of crossed the boundary. He was knocking on the king's door without having done the proper introduction. So there was a sense of, like, shame. And then what happens to the king also? Now he opens the door, nobody's there. Why is nobody there? Because there was, like, a protocol violation. He realized that. There was a sense of shame and embarrassment. So Ella, Rami. So, yeah, Adam, Mekariv Lakadosh Baruch Elav, Marzeo B'Tishbacho Sukusin. Right? There's a systematic process, a protocol by which we approach Hashem. This is all getting at the issue that I was discussing, which is how can a human being approach God in Tefillah? Yeah, Adam, Mekariv Lakadosh Baruch Elav, Marzeo B'Tishbacho Sukusin Shel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? What does God want to hear more than, you know? You are the architect of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yad Chazakah V'Zron Netuyah, V'hu Miskare V'Lav, U'V'Odo Karo V'Lav, Yesh Lo Litaboa Tzrachav. So why is this Rashi so, so significant? And getting back to our Lambda scheme. Oh, I think there's no way around it, right? This isn't about your Kabbalah Smalchus Shamayim, but this is if you want to bridge that insuperable chasm between Basar Vadam and the Melech Malche Hamachim, you have to have a plan. You have to have a strategy. You have to have a method. You have to have a protocol. What do we call that as a shorthand? Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting because we seem to be focused on a very particular method, namely Geulas Mitzrayim. That's important, right? You have to start wondering to yourself if the whole idea is that it's really a din in tefillah. Maybe if I'm mishabeach in other ways, maybe, you know, I could point out other great things. Ah, now you guys are talking. Psukei deZimra, Tchias Hamesim. There are other such things that we build into shevach. Kedushas Hashem. Ne'amanus Hashem. What's that? Yeah, there's a lot of things that you might say. So, but Geulas Mitzrayim doesn't seem bad, right? It's at least as good as anything else, we would say. Right? Oh, good. Okay? Good. So, what Ephraim just said quietly is just to the latter. Right. So now we understand that maybe, like, Yitzias Mitzrayim is like the Avtipus, right? But we could be open to the possibility, according to this Yerushalmi, cited by Rashi, of other things. Maybe there's a special place in Hashem's heart, kivayachol, for Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we're not sure that it really has to be Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, if that's true, that will take a lot of pressure off the idea of, even if historically speaking, what? Just 2 months to... Even if it were true, the more you think it's a din in tefillah, and the more that you buy into this Yerushalmi, that it's Tish B'Achos, good, Avi, just a little louder. Exactly, because, you know, we're not so super focused on Geulas Mitzrayim, but, you know, if you're davening at night, you're going to need the, you know, Klusin V'Tish B'Achos. And, you know, okay, so you're appealing to Yetzias Mitzrayim. There, especially, you might want other things because Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't quite happen then. So there's even, no, it's Dafka that you need it as the Geula Richta. It's not a Chisaron, it's really... You know, it really is additive. All of these possibilities now emerge. But somebody should have, like, a very pressing kasha on this Yerushalmi. Because we're saying, well, it's a din in tefillah, of course. How in the world are you going to be the guy that starts banging on the door, then hear the footsteps, and you're thinking to yourself, I've got to get out of here. And 2 seconds later, you're in the bushes. You know, by the time he comes to the door. So there should be, like, a very specific kasha that comes to mind. Eitan? What's that? Rami? It's a one-word kasha.
What?
It's a one-word kasha. Okay. Let's see, I haven't even shown him, but... The din in tefillah.
Can you do it?
Tie goes to both of you. That's there is a structural advantage to making the argument that it's a din in kriyat shema, or Mikey's third possibility that it's an independent concept called smichas geulah tefillah. And the reason is because there's a third tefillah that doesn't have geula beforehand. Now, there are answers to that. Very good. There are answers to that. But it is fascinating. Okay, so this is a good overview based on Rashi. We're going to go a little bit further. We'll just finish the Rashis. We'll take all the Hayaros, and then we'll be into Tosos, okay? So... yeah. Noam, you want to just finish the Rashis for us? This is Bam Tzatiknu. Okay, I think this is a Rashi of great import, but it has to be understood. You could just run through it quickly, but what do the actual words mean? So, Geula Me'orta Lo Havi, Hilkach, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Geula de orta lo chashiva hadure ala semichas tefila. What's Rashi saying? It's amazing, Rashi. Efraim?
I think what Rashi's saying is that, like, because Geula at night wasn't so strong.
Excellent.
It wouldn't even work as, like, you know, you go to the king and you're like, Geula, Geula, Geula. And it doesn't work.
It would undermine the very idea of smichas geulah tefillah. How is that Rashi l'shita? So, he's assuming that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are basically agreeing
that there's a din of smichas geulah tefillah.
No question. It's what we saw before,
right?
And that the nature of that din, according to Rashi, is based on the Yerushalmi. Nobody put a gun to Rashi's head and say, "Quote this Yerushalmi." He didn't need that Yerushalmi to explain the Gemara. That's what we like to call, or I like to call, a free association Rashi. It's more significant because Rashi. You know, Rashi is constitutionally obligated to explain the Gemara, right? But he doesn't have to quote this Yerushalmi. But it's exactly what the Yerushalmi says, because, right, if you want a daven, you better have some good Tish B'Achos. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying, yeah, exactly. So, the Geula mi ba'erev? You think that's going to, you know, get you to the front door? Come on. So again, if you're reading Rashi really, really carefully, you get the strong impression that he thinks that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are having a very technical machlokas, really limited in scope. They're really both affirming and validating smichas geulah l'tefillah. They're really only arguing about whether it makes sense
to do it at night
through geulas Mitzrayim. Yeah.
but then you have to give something else. There has to be a replacement. Or are you going to say Asherah at night? Like, you have to say something.
Maybe at that point Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, you know what? Given that we're not really going to be able to do a standard gula l'tefillah, I've got a competing value called Kriyat Shema Samach L'mitaso, or Tfilos Bemta Tiknu. Unless you think that there's a competing value, you might say if I could do Smicha Skula Tfilah in the optimal sense, I would have done it. I would have given that to you, Rabbi Yochanan. But since we really can't do it, because I believe that there should be, you know, Geulas Mitzrayim, I think that's really the way to do this, and we really can't do that at night, so why don't we actually opt for a different value? There's something to be gained through Kriyat Shema Samach L'mitaso.
Right, but then you're localizing it entirely to, if you're going to do Smicha Skula Tfilah, it has to be through Geulas Mitzrayim? There's no other way?
Right. That could be. That's a very narrow way of defining the machlokas.
Okay.
I think that's a possibility here. Okay. So that's Ben Tetuv. Guma Mar Tulami Luhambi. So Makima Kriyat Shema Ve'achach Tvila. Okay. There you have it. Right. That's explicit. Right. I mean, if you were reading Rashi carefully before that, you knew this was coming. You knew this was coming because he keeps on saying that they're basically in agreement.
They are who we thought they were.
Exactly right. They are who we thought they were. That's right. This is Dennis Green Rashi. Okay. Very good. Okay. Hey, Aros, from you guys, and then Tosos. Okay, so Akiva, Yenison, you've been waiting. Ezra, let's get everybody in.
I feel like this conception in Rashi of the Melech and the person knocking on his door undermines the aspect of the Tefillah where Hashem is Avinu, like, who wants us there to... He wants us to go to him. It's not like this guy who's the Ohavo Shalmela, who might not actually be so close with him, and just pulls up to the palace and like expects an appointment. When we come to Hashem, Hashem has asked us to be in front of him and daven to him. And he's Avinu, he's not just Malkinu. So I don't feel like the Mashal is necessarily completely representative of our experience of Tefillah.
You know, there's a lot about what you said that resonates with me, but I always thought that Yerushalmi actually accounts for your issue by specifically using, in the Mashal, Ohavo Shel Melech.
That's
exactly the point, that even though Ohavo Shel Melech still has to be cognizant of that distance. This is not a repudiation of the idea, you know, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mis'avil Tfilas and Shel Tzadikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a vested interest. We're not denying that at all, right? And the Yerushalmi does affirm that the Melech would have wanted, in the end of the day, to have that rendezvous with Ohavo, but, you know, there's a certain way of doing it, because it is the Melech, right? You don't just, you know, walk on in, you know, to Heichalo Shel Melech.
But if it was the Ben Melech, we would say the same thing as Ohavo Shel Melech? It seems... Like,
okay.
We have this dual relationship.
I understand, right? But, you know, that's exactly, you know, the dialectic. So I don't think the Yerushalmi is actually, like, well calibrated. It's saying that, you know, the Melech would have wanted Avhu Hiflik.
Right.
But, you know, we have to be aware of that very, very, very delicate balance. And it is a very delicate balance. Yeah, go ahead.
So, in terms of our Chakira, whether Tzvich HaSku is a hidden
right.
Neither.
There's something else.
So if we say it's a din in Shmona Esrei, so we could be Mekayim Tzvichas Gula L'Tefillah without any mention of Kriya Shema at all, without saying Kriya Shema, without, like, basically, like we said, just through Asrei, and that's going to be a cum of Tzvichas Gula.
I would think, according to the Yerushalmi, right, if you believe that you're trying to get in the door for purposes of tefillah. So the Yerushalmi used the language of tishbachos uklusin.
Is very
broad.
You're not talking about
smichas gula,
you're talking about smichas shevach.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's one way of thinking about it. No doubt about it. Okay, who's next? Danielson.
We're saying that there's a, if we say possibly that there's a din in Krishna more than tefillah, or then how come within, I find it kind of hard to say, since we're focusing on Gula Mitzrayim, Kriya Shema isn't looked at as a there of Gula Mitzrayim, which is a Gula Mitzrayim. So it seems nearer to me that it's very, it's not possible. It's very hard to say that it's a different creation of the cloak. Unless you say that it's Drabonim, and therefore the deceased time makes it their iso.
Okay, so I'm glad you mentioned. Let me just repackage Janison's point in the following way. So it seems a lot like this machlokas between Rabbi Shub and Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, according to certain understandings of this Gemara, should be taloi on the machlokas tanoim between. Very good. Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. Balaman tiskors yom tizcham eretz Mitzrayim. Right? That's a very important point. It seems like it should be deeply related to that. Right? The more that you believe that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be done every single, if you don't believe that to begin with, right? So it's going to be more difficult to make the argument unless you take, again, a very broadly defined Geula. It's not even Geula, it's Mitzrayim. That was just really an example that we were using. Right? So that is a very important contribution. Ezra. Go ahead.
I also don't think it works. which is that the whole point of Sefila Gula is Gula is that it's not we're not thinking of it as like, oh, we need a like Hashem is only coming to the door or we give praise. I was thinking of it more of like you can't go to ask Hashem from something that he's not getting from Melech. So like if you didn't say Shema or you didn't say Gula yet, you didn't bring Hashem to this world, you didn't make Hashem available for you, you can't go and ask him for something. Once you bring Hashem down to this world and make him a Melech, your Melech, now you can go and ask him. Now you can go ask him that you can get your kind of
deal. But what you're saying right now is almost a verbatim iteration of one of the Rishonim. We're not going to get there today, but we'll get them there tomorrow. So don't be so quick to dismiss it.
Yes, I thought it's not good because the Lashon of the Rishonim is Tishkafos.
Okay, but remember, you're not necessarily beholden to that Yerushalmi. It's just one perspective. Okay, not all the Rishonim are going to be so quick to adapt. Again, if you're adopting this Yerushalmi, you're almost boxing yourself into a tefillah-centric perspective. What you're saying is dafka not a tefillah-centric perspective, which I think is a very, very important contribution. Daniel, then Ezra, and then back to Ben Zion. We're good? Okay, Ben Zion.
Would you be able to, theoretically, for saying that something in Sheva, to be guilty of something like my own marriage, that it's even touching on the same aspect of ETS, but trying to say ETS is trying to be a central point for like for a reason or whatever, that by over would be
right. Exactly. You really have to say the words Ga'al Yisrael. Is that like so important? That's a very important question. Okay, and that's a very important halachic question as well. Because if the Yerushalmi is correct, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. It's not even clear to me, as some of us started to discuss. It's not even clear to me that it would really even have to be Geulas Mitzrayim. That we shouldn't describe such significance to that. Yeah, Eitan.
In terms of the difference. It shouldn't make a difference because we're still worried about a hefsek between Gal Yisrael and Shmona Esrei with an amen to the bracha. So the fact that Hashkivenu is that Hashem's Vasai Tiptach is shorter than Hashkivenu, like it's not.
You don't accept Ezra's point at all. You don't see any difference there. By the way, you know. We're living, you have inside information on this, but not all the Rishonim thought it was a problem to say Amen. So, okay, so just say Amen. The Meiri says that. He says, I know people disagree with me, but he doesn't think it's a big deal. He doesn't think that in any way gets in the, you know, if you follow the, let's say, the mashal of the Yerushalmi, David, you think the Melech is going to get so upset you said Amen? You know, it doesn't seem to be, you know, such a catastrophe. In terms of Geula L'Tfila, again, that's not our practice, but, you know, I think Ezra's point is very well taken with respect to just a basic difference between Hashem Sfasai Tiftach and this supposed Geula Richta. I think we've come a long way, though, since then, in terms of understanding why the Geula Richta might dafka be necessary when it comes to nighttime, specifically because it's not a Geula Ma'al Yasa. Professor Berenholz. What's that? Right, so it seemed like Rashi was saying something l'shitaso based on the Yerushalmi, that what we're really trying to do is potentiate our tefillah. But we're skeptical of our ability to daven because you know, Mi Anochi, who's going to come in front of the Melech Malchei Amlachim Bitzfila? Who has that right? So, you know, you need some kind of a matir. And the matir would appear to be the Tishbachos, the Divrei Klusin. You need that. But, you know, you can't go in waving the idea, hey, back in the 84 Olympics, I remember you took sixth in the decathlon. It's not going to work. You're not going to get the interview that way. You're going to need to say at least bronze.
Preferably silver.
What's that?
Or not the Olympics.
Right? So you need something. So that's what the words say. Hilkach gu'ula de'orta lo chashiva. It's not chashiv. It's not significant enough. La'adure Allah smichas tfila. And then once you say that, that the gu'ula simply isn't available. We lack the technical means. So at that point, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would say, better to do it the other way. Better to satisfy the value of Kriyat Shema Samach Labitaso. Or, if you prefer, the value of Tfilos Be'emtza Tiknum. That you want to have the Tfilos run consecutively. Which is an idea that I'm going to say is actually something that the Rambam might have actually picked up of an echo of Lihalacha. I believe there's a line in the Rambam that supports such an idea of Tfilos Be'emtza Tiknum. Dr. Schwartz.
Yes, so you said something about how you weren't sure if it even necessarily needed to be the Gulas Mitzrayim?
According to the Rishalmi.
Okay. So, but does that work with our Gemara?
Well, again, our Gemara presents multiple views. So the first view in the Gemara was that it seems to be very predicated in the specific history of Gulas Mitzrayim. The second view is that B'shach B'chov Kumecha, we're trying to figure out what the Pasuk means, what the comparison of Shechiva and Kima is really all about. So it could say that Gufa is the Machlokas between the two Deos and the Gemara.
Okay.
Yeah. Kiva.
I get two questions.
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, in terms of actual, like, Shemona Esrei, we have three groups. Shabbat. So according to the Yerushalmi, why shouldn't those just tackle our need for
Shabbat? Hold on a second. We're holding by Daf Dalet, right? So you know a lot. You're saying you know about the Shemon Esrei, you know about the Amida, you know about the Gimel Rishonos. The Gemara hasn't introduced any of that yet. That's a very important Hayara, but the Gemara didn't, you know, contemplate that yet. And even the Yerushalmi, you could say, once you're in the realm of Tefillah, so, you know, hiya no senes. You needed something before Tefillah. Even though the Shevach is built into the Tefillah, you're doing the Shevach and then the Bakasha, and we'll talk about that. It could be because that's still part of the Chaloshem Tefillah.
I would only challenge that based on the words of Yesh, Do Karo Vela of Yesh Bo Atzracha.
Right.
It's not to be Tefillah in general, but specifically
the Bakashas. I agree. I think that's corrected in the Yerushalmi. But all I'm saying is that you can't necessarily compare Shevach within the Amida to Shevach before the Amida.
Okay. And also, in terms of the Hashkidino Hashem's Fasad difference,
right.
I don't think it's just about length, and this might answer
right.
Eitan's
okay.
question, but it seems like Hashkidino is much more of a hefse, like Dvarim, in terms of Geula. It doesn't seem like we're talking about any specific Geula. We're going in general about Hashem being a protector. As opposed to Hashem's Selassai is just an introduction that directly relates to Tefillah, as in Hashem helped me daven. As opposed to Hashkivenu, you could say is very different than what comes before it.
Yeah, I thought that's what I was trying to say, is that, you know, the idea of needing a tefillah so that we should be able to daven strikes me as eminently reasonable,
right,
as intrinsic part of tefillah. Yeah, I totally agree. But right, we just finished saying Gal Yisrael, now you're starting something else, and it's a whole different bracha. I totally agree. Yeah, I think that's what we were saying, right? We were on the same page, yeah. Yehuda. Possibly. Now, the Yerushalmi does muddy the waters a little bit, right? Because it talks about Tishbachos and Klusin and makes it much more about Shevach than it is about Geula. But I hear what you're saying. Geula might need to be that, you know, God has redeemed us from some precarious, you know, impending catastrophe kind of a thing. Yeah, I hear that. Okay, so let's at least see Tosfos here. Damar Rabbi Yochanan Ezeu ben Olam Haba. Then I'll give you guys some chavrusa time to wrap things up. But Damar Rabbi Yochanan Ezeu ben Olam Haba. Levi, you want to do the honors? Just starts with the word just V'anu, meaning Chachmei Ashkenaz. Havale. So this is according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds to this idea of smicha skula tefila by Mariv. So you know the problems are compounded, right? For us, Chachmei Ashkenaz subscribe to this idea of what we call Baruch Hashem Liulam Amen V'Amen. Not all shuls say it; we don't say it. Whatever, I don't think TABC doesn't, but you know our shul doesn't. But you know, standard Ashkenazic practice is too. And Tosfos realizes that this is a very difficult thing. You know, it's one thing to say about Hashkivenu, Agula, Richta Damya, but, you know, to say it about Baruch Hashem Leolam, okay. You know, so, you know, Tosfos tries to defend the proposition. You know, this is already stretching things even further. You know, if Eitan, we were giving you a little bit of a hard time about, you know, it's one thing to say about one pasuk, about a whole new bracha, to say Geula Richta is not so simple. I think even you'll concede, right, at this point. To Tosos, it's a little dachuk, right? Okay? Tosos knows that, so John Tosos tries the opposite approach. Well, maybe it's not a Geula Richta, but maybe it's a Tefila Richta. Okay, go ahead. So really, it's about the psukim, and the psukim are like a tefillah arichta damya because they match the basic structure of tefillah. And okay, yirayinenu is just an appendage. Grasping a little bit at straws, right? The pashtus is if you're saying Baruch Hashem liolam, what you're really saying is that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. That's the pashtus, okay? Now, the Balei Tosfos are obviously trying to have their cake and eat it too. And is that their right? God bless them. Of course they're allowed to do that. That's where the Balei Tosfos earn their salary, is trying to defend these things. And it's important. But, right, the Pashtus is, if you're going to say that, it's because you don't really think, right, that there's an absolute need by Mariv for smicha skula tefila. Now, that in the Gemara, you would say, is a din in the Geula, the Geula lohavi. Now, does anybody want to raise a svara that maybe you would say that by Mariv, but for a completely different reason? Not because of the difference in Geula, but Ezra? Good. That is true. That is good halacha. But why should that be? Why should that be? Okay. Ilan, what do you want to say? Excellent. Outstanding, Ilan. Right? So, if you don't really think that tefillah is on the same madrega, right, let's go back to that image of Ohavo Shel Malach, right? If it's not so pressing that you have the tefillah, then maybe we can do away with the whole protocol, right? It's not as important a conversation to have. It's only a reshus. Now, let's not jump to any conclusions. You might say, okay, but im kvar that you're going to have the conversation, then you're going to need to follow protocol. Or even, do you want to, you know, be a real amdin about it and say, adrabah, if it's only a rishus, and you're not obligated to be there, then you're going to need a geula, arechta. Okay, good. You're starting to get the feel of the sukkah, right? There's certain contours to the sukkah. Okay, so the Balei Tosfos are in a hard place right now. We call it the deep, dark valley of Ashkenaz, right? So the Rabbi Yochanan Shita, it's not really compatible with what we're doing. Rav Smicha Skula Tefillah, you know, this is hardly Hashem Svasai Tiftach. This is now Hashkiveinu, and it's Baruch Hashem Liolam, and then we'll come back to Ilan's point about Kaddish, and, you know, there'll be a Kiddish, and then there'll daven Shmon Esrei. But hey, it's all a Gula Rechtadam, you know, it's all a Tefillah Rechtadam. They're trying, okay? And that's okay. So now, what's the bottom line? Halacha. V'chein. Halacha is gedolah. So now the sheet of the Bahag as well. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So is this the first time in Masechta Brachos that Tosfos has tipped his hand in this machlokas?
No.
Excellent. Where does it come up? That was just a good educated guess. Ezra? Excellent. The first Tosfos in Shas. It's one of the four kashas. Right? It's actually the fourth kasha. Right. If Rashi's really right, they were being Yotze through Kriyat Shema Lamita. So after saying, well, I thought that was just because of the Mazikin and the three Parshios or whatever happened to Birchos Kriyat Shema, he says, well, wait a second. That means that Rashi was a closeted supporter of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That can't be. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. That's a Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph. So Tosfos is holding their ground. They're saying, well, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. We do. Now, they're not going to go down without a fight on Minhag Ashkenaz, which is Baruch Hashem Be'olam. Okay? V'im Kain, he says, well, wait a second. Right, so now you see them moving the goalposts a little bit. So what's Michas Gula Tefillah? He says, wait, we need to be Michas Gula Tefillah. On the other hand, we've got all this extra stuff. So what is he saying that there can't be? This is going to be so vital for us when we get to the more subtle aspects of the sugya, that maybe Smichas Gula Tefillah, at least by Arvis, if not by Shachris, means, Eitan? Good. It sort of reminds us of that last sugya that we were... Exactly. That, okay, maybe it's not that really, really, you know, the Kriyat Shema and the Tefillah have to be back to back, or even the Bracha of Gal Yisrael, but you can't have, you know, totally extraneous things. You can't have an outright hefsek of people talking. Okay? That's what he's saying. Im ken yeshizor, shalosap ben gulad arvis l'shmon esrei. Mihu, however, Tosfos has to be intellectually honest about it, even if he wants a pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan in conjunction with his view on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Beseder of Amram. Oh! Exactly. Ilan, that's exactly what you wanted to argue. So, if Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, so Mechatesi, Smichas Gulula Tfilah. You don't need to daven altogether. So, how could you say you're obligated to have, right, a prat in Tfilah? Okay, now again, there are other Svaros, we saw, right? We could argue the point, but you have a very important sheet in the Gaonim that establishes that you don't need smichas gula l'tfila by Ma'ariv. Right? We're not saying tfilos b'emta tiknum. It's kind of a third shita. We're not passing quite like Rabbi Yochanan about smichas gula l'tfila. We're not passing like Rabbi Shua ben Levi about tfilos b'emta tiknum or kriyat shma sambachom mitaso. We're saying we could be mekel on smichas gula l'tfila by Arvis because Arvis is rishos anyway. And by the way, there are a lot of things that were Mekalan by Arvis. Chazaras Hashatz were Mekalan. Yala V'yavo.
That's the whole thing. That's Tosfos by Arvis Rishos.
Right, yeah. That's why Arvis Rishos say Rishos basically means
Torah. Why don't you use that answer?
So what's that?
No, it's El Shay Makashi.
He did it. He's got no Torah, okay?
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Let's get settled. Okay, point is that I was going to mention the Rambam. The Rambam thinks that Rav Matzi Shal Shabbos Berav Shabbos Motzei Shabbos B'Shabbos is because Arvis is Rishus, so you have a lot of flexibility in terms of you know, how you handle yourself in the timing. So this could be another thing. Well, another prat, another din within the world of Ma'ariv that will be Mekelon. Not in any way an implausible suggestion that we have here from Rav Amram Gaon. Okay. However, Tosfos disagrees. Lo Nehira. Go ahead. Oh. So it's really interesting, he says, but that if you want to make this about Ma'ariv Rishus or Chova, and you want to say Haba Hatalia, and Rabbi Yochanan is arguing Smicha Sgula Tuva by Ma'ariv, then maybe you're boxing yourself into the corner of saying
that he holds
that it's Chova. And then that would be a problem because that will, and we're going to get to this later, that would then compel us to go against the simple reading of the Gemara later on in the fourth parak, right? The Gemara in the fourth parak says, Halacha kedivrei ha'omer rishus. Right? And normally in a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, right? Okay? So we're going to get there. Right, so now what's really interesting here is that there is a subtle change. If you're reading Tosfos carefully, Tosfos is taking stock of all the evidence. So what just happened in that one little line in Tosfos?
Because he agreed, so he changed his position
as it's Rishus. Right, he says, V'nachon lahachmir ulizar m'nisaper b'intayim. What does that sound like?
Like we've accepted that it's just Sipor is the problem.
Right. And that it's and that it's in a word, Smicha's Gula Latvila by Ma'ariv would basically be a good. It's a chumra. It's like you're saying it's a chumra. The right thing is to be machmir. But it seems like he's taking stock of the evidence, both in terms of Minag Ashkenaz, we're clearly not being so mech Gula Latvila, frankly. Okay? And the Shita of Rav Amram Gaon, and the desire to say Tefillas Arvis Rishus anyway, and he says, "Yeah, okay, so we could still try to honor this idea of Rabbi Yochanan of Smichas Kula Tula by not having any hefsik." But this is a world away, Eitan, from, you know, this, oh my God, there's going to be an Amen. Here we have a Hol Kaddish, we have a Yeruvenenu, we have a Hashkivenu. Okay. And as we said, there are two ways of articulating the svara David of Rabbi Yochanan, and I don't think either of them is particularly weak. Number one is to say, okay, maybe you don't have to daven, but im kvar that you're davening, the svara of Ohavo Shemelech continues to apply. Number one, and number two is no, he anosenes and adaraba. If you're not obligated to daven, you better follow the protocols, because what are you doing there anyway? It's like my whole, you know, gripe with the Rav's conception of Birchas HaMitzvah is, what do you mean you need a matir? You're obligated to do it. Once you're not obligated to do something, the idea of a matir is very compelling. Right? So it's not just, okay, you know, if you're ready to davening, you have to follow the rules. Right? Obviously, it's sort of the opposite. Right? You may need, and then Gula Richta becomes even a more powerful idea. Okay? So those are the svaros. Okay. Let's take all the questions, and then I'll give you guys some chavrusa time. You will not need to see inside again the Tosfos at the beginning of Brachos, because we covered that in Shir. Okay, questions. Questions, hey, Aros. Yeah, Ezra, please. What are we talking about? Yeah. Right, so that's a machlokas rishon. And the Meiri says, he says, I know a lot of people disagree with me, Mer Machmir, for this issue, but he says he can't believe that it's really a hefsek. He just doesn't think that that's a hefsek, because it doesn't in any way compromise, you know, the contiguous nature of you're literally going from the words Gal Yisrael into davening to say Amen to, as you answer to all brachos. He doesn't think that's an issue. Rov Rishonim disagree. We paskin like Rov Rishonim, but again, if you know, it's a far cry from anything that's going on in Maariv, right? In terms of Hashkivenu, in terms of Yeruenenu, in terms of the Kaddish, etc.
Isn't the same issue with Al-Rabba?
Well, but that wouldn't be a Degula Litzvila problem.
No, what I'm saying in terms of Amin being Hafsi.
Right, but that's not going to that's not gonna impact our issue.
Does the Meiri hold the same in both places?
And the Meiri is saying, even according to the Din Prati of Gula Tfila, he doesn't think it's a problem.
But he's also saying that in general, a name wouldn't be considered
Hefzik. That's not good enough for this case. That's not good enough for Gula Tfila. You might say that, no, you literally have to say the words Gal Yisrael and then start davening. He's saying a bigger Chiddush, yeah.
Got it.
Petzion. And Achanami Vincent, you're absolutely right. I mean, again, all of those questions can be deflected. All of those questions, you know, are not terrible questions. Yeah, no. So you say, what you're saying is that could be that even if we agree, halacha k'divrei Omer Rishus, Meir is Rishus, Rabbi Yochanan holds that way, Rabbi Yeshua holds that way, as we'll see, Rava holds that way, right? You really want to pass in Tefillah Tzara versus a Rishus. And you could have a Tefillah which is a Rishus that you're not obligated to daven really fundamentally at all. But if you're going to daven, you still have to follow the general protocol. That was one way that to learn it. And then there's a kind of a fancier way to learn it, which is to say, I don't know, he had no senes. If it's already a Rishus, if you're not there because you have to be there, right? As a famous running back once said, I'm here because otherwise they'll find me. Right? If you don't really have to be there, right? So then maybe you need an even greater matir, right? You need more klusid and tishbachos. Because the answer will be, what are you doing here? A chova, you know my patterns of thought about this. I don't like the idea that you need a matir where there's a chiyuv. I'm willing to accept the basic premise that tefillah is different. Because tefillah is a radical gesture. Because tefillah is a very audacious thing, Avi. I mean, you have to admit it. Why is my basar vadam needs... How can I... You know, bring this. The Melech Malchei Amlachim is, you know, responsible for the entire world. And my Parnassa situation, it's a little hard. I mean, unless a person really thinks, you know, Bishvili Nivra Holam, he's got that in both pockets. What do they say? The Rav Nachman story or something. You know, he's got Bishvili Nivra Holam in both pockets. He's not going to understand the Kasha. Right? But if you're a person who understands, as Avraham Avinu said, "Vanochi afar va'efer," so what right do we have? So I can, in tefillah, I am willing to modify my general position that chiyuvim don't need a matir. Hanoah needs a matir, not a chiyuv. I'm willing to modify that position. I am in general, but right, if you're not obligated to be there, if it's just a tefillah rishus, so then you could see a much even greater need for a matir. Because you think you have the right to just daven because you feel the need to daven? That's enough of a reason for, you know, so for that you might need extra, you know, tishbachos. That's going to be a big part of what we're going to be talking about in worship of the heart, is to think a lot about what tefillah really is. See, Talmud Torah is a very natural thing. We exist in this world to be Avdei Hashem. Ki avadai hei, mashar tzeisim zemei Yitzrayim. What does it mean to be David Hashem? To follow his rules. So I need Talmud Torah, and I get Talmud Torah, and I understand Talmud Torah, and it has the pride of place for all of those reasons. Tfila? He doesn't work for me. I work for him. What's so important about, you know, what I want? Who cares what I want? It's not important. It's not cosmically important what I want. Yenison.
In the issue of criticism, you said this idea that you say that for Hashiveinu and for Hashiveinu and for all the other things lost, since they're going to Rusaki for a different reason, they also made it
that we can consider it a Geula Richto as a first.
They also give it a dinner of Geula Richto, even though that's not what the main Takana was for.
Yes.
So that's as far as
to
hold up the
Seif
of Tosas as well?
No, the Seif of Tosas, that second day of Tosas, they said maybe we should bet, maybe we're better off saying it's not a Gula Richta, it's a Tfila Richta. Because it has the Yirchas Haskaros, Kenegad Yirchas Brachos. Tosas didn't like so much their own idea of Gula Richta by Baruch Hashem Leolam.
Then could that be a different din that when you say it's a rechta, it doesn't have a din, it's a rechta, but not like the original din that it came from. If it's a din in tefillah, then you have to have din.
Yeah, right, it patterns after tefillah. Right, it's a very difficult line. I'm not even really sure what it means that Baruch Hashem Leolam is a geula rechta, what that really means. Hashkivenu is thematically related, at least. Who didn't get a chance yet? David, was that you? Menachem? Okay. So let's go back. Akiva, Ephraim, Levi.
How do you defend if you're chayav in something, you don't need to make a bracha, but hanagi?
No. If you're chayav in something, I just don't know that you need a matir.
Sorry. And why do we need to make birchos hana'a on things we've been commanded to eat?
So birchos hananin.
Right. On something we've made. Let's say like matzah on Seder night. So we were commanded to eat that matzah. And
right.
The fact that we're getting hanah is kind of a side for the fact that we're completing the mitzvah.
No, I appreciate that. I think that's a good question. I would still say the hanah shabbat requires a matir.
Why? If Hashem commanded us to get this,
Hashem commanded us to eat this, but you know we're getting certain hana as a byproduct. Then we need to make a bracha as a matir for that. I don't have a problem with that. Right? God didn't say you have an obligation to enjoy the matzah. So you have to eat the matzah.
Right, but even if I don't enjoy food, I need to make a bracha.
Well, that's actually an interesting question. But a devar pagum, that's an important question. That's not so simple.
Right.
The yisur is, we discussed that a little bit with medicines, bad tasting medicines. Not so clear.
Right.
Yeah.
So what with the Valentos was saying that, even though it's a Rishos, you can still say this is a chiyuv, why don't they just say, we're the Valentos, we don't think Rishos actually means Rishos? Because that's their position later.
But that is their position later. But even if it's their position later, it's still rishus relative to an absolute chova.
Yeah, but it's still a chova.
Well, it's not a chova.
It's still meaning. I think the question falls apart, right? Because you can say, well, how can you force me to be somebody that's ulu tefila if you can't force me to daven? Right, but if the answer is well, you have to daven. It's just you might not.
I hear it. It's a good question. I guess I would try to quibble back and say, no, Tosfos really does think that it's not a formal chiyuv, but unless there's anything else going on.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean but I like your question. I think let's put it this way: there's certainly less pressure on Tosfos than there would be on the Rambam,
right,
in terms of the relative definition of rishos. Yeah. Levi, then Mikey.
I don't know about what you said before about people who aren't talking to Hashem with your insignificance. Because if you talk to someone who doesn't care about you, it's fine that a person doesn't care about you, but if that person's not going to listen to you, then it just makes them a jerk. Like, you listen to people talking to you even when you don't care about them.
Right.
And if there's ever a kind of dynamic between two people, especially two people who are supposed to have a close relationship or something like that, or a parent-child relationship, which is something that you have with Hashem, where one of the people is like, who are you to be concerning me with your problems and your existence, then that person, that person is kind of like a psychopath, and you would think that person is a jerk, maybe seriously troubled. And so, you know, you should kind of assume Hashem's not like a big jerk. So, even if he were, you wouldn't need a bracha.
Well, let me put it to you this way, because I do understand what you're saying, and that is a, in the end, that's part of the story, and that's really Levi what Akiva was driving at before. I mean, he talked about this idea of the duality of the relationship and Avinu Malkeinu, and you know, a quote from the very Chazal, Kadosh Baruch Hu Misav LeTulas and Alishol Tzadikim. So, you know, we don't need to turn our backs on that entirely. But let me make the following analogy. Let's say you had a human king. Forget about, you know, the Melech Malchei Amlachim, and like, you know, I'm a little bit annoyed because they put a bus stop right in front of my house. And like, you know, there are people getting on the bus and it comes at 6 and 6:10 and 6:20. And like, it the brakes aren't oiled properly and it's making a lot of noise. And like, I go and let's say I'm living in, I'm living in Shanghai. Okay, so I go to Xi Jinping, I start banging on the door and I say, President Xi, you've really got to move this bus stop. I mean, it's out of control. 6 o'clock, 6:10, 6:20. And he goes, and he looks at you and he says, you know, I'm right now, you know, in the process of quarantining 75 million people. You know, like, your bus stop is just going to have to wait. It's just not that important relative to my responsibilities. So, what's that? You're saying if he had infinite resources, he'd really be happy to move the bus stop.
Yeah, I'm saying.
You don't think he'd say, like, who do you think you are?
If there's a dynamic between two beings where it's like one of them is starving and should feel insecure and lose
right.
and not be motivated to approach the other
right.
and need some kind of mantra to approach the other, that doesn't sound like something healthy.
Well, but what about Avraham Avinu? He admits it, Anochi Afar Vayefer.
That doesn't necessarily mean maybe like a lot here. It doesn't necessarily mean what.
But it does sound that way, right? He's saying Hinei Nahu Alti Ledaber Hashem. It sounds like he's very.
The difference is that he's arguing against the will of Hashem.
Okay.
He's not arguing for some kind of personal desire. So he's actually trying to make some kind of point to Hashem.
Right.
Just trying to like.
So you're saying there's something. I hear that. There's something particularly audacious about Avram's tefillah. Yeah, okay, I can understand that.
It's totally different.
Right.
Because he's making a point.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We're going to get to, especially when we get to the Shitas HaRamban next week, we're going to see that, you know, I'm not sure what you're saying is entirely, would be entirely consistent with the Ramban's idea, because there is still something that should strike us, I think, as, you know, a little bit difficult for us to think that our, you know, very temporal concerns, you know, are worth the time of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if he has infinite resources. But what you're saying obviously isn't wrong, and that in the end is a big part of the answer, that Hashem and his chesed really, you know, is Shomeya, Tfilas Amo Yisrael Berachamim. And the very act of being Shomea is an expression of that Rachamim for sure. You know, Racham Avol Kol Masav, and therefore he is concerned. So in the end, I think you're right. But I'm just trying to set up the kasha. You know, that there should be something. That's why we take three steps back and all the choreography. Mikey, go ahead. Okay. So I think in the way that the time worked out, you're going to have a little bit less chavrusa time than I imagine. But at least try to see the Gemara and Daf Lamed Beis. And we'll pick it up there tomorrow.